don't know what you want to say about him. All I know, he got a good pace. And when you frantic and you scared and you running, you liable to run into some shit. You liable to run into a tree branch. That's what I'm saying. You liable to fall. When you scared, you're like, oh shit, Michael Myers coming. And you scared. Next thing you know, you hit a branch. Pow. You're on the ground.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
Mofos and mofets, you are listening to Seasonable Clout with Thaddeus Shade. Wait, I am Thaddeus Shade. And we're getting into Seasonable Clout. Let's go.
I might slip but never fall, ready to ride or die. Bullshit aside, my homies call, I'll be at the crime scene with my mind on green. All my dreams formulated from nine to triple beams, blazing bomb sacks with my comrades. If you ain't spoken, cast the contact when we bomb back. I'm on the track like the Unabomber, flashing for cash like a hoochie mama. Ain't no telling when I'm belling with my felons what we'll do for drama. Running the phone, you like it, ain't no love left. Some thugs love death, busting with text.
Hello, 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 hello. 10:30. 10:30, 2020. Is it 7 months or is it 8 months? Is it 7 or is it 8 months in this pandemic filled world? Is it 8 months, Papa? Has it been 8 months, Papa Joe? When would the pandemic ever end, Papa Joe? We don't know. We don't know. 10:30, 2020. I think it's 7 or 8 months of just, I don't know, man. It's been 7 or 8 months of confusion and uncomfortability. We've just wanted to live a regular life and we've been forced not to be able to, not force, but the virus is winning. Okay, so I was weird now. I've had a lot of caffeine this morning, but y'all not ready, man? You know, you're not ready for Halloween tomorrow. I'm feeling Halloweenish, even though it's been pandemic-y. I'm just like, you know, I'm feeling really good, really, really good about tomorrow. All right, I'm feeling really good. Places are shutting back down, but I feel great. You know, Belgium's in lockdown, Germany shutting back down, but I feel great. I feel like tomorrow's going to be awesome. Halloween's going to be really good. Schools are shutting down. Colleges are canceling games, but you know what? Tomorrow for Halloween, it's going to feel great. You know, feels great. The country's got the high, you know, it's spike of cases. Just every day is a new Guinness World Record. Today, oh, coronavirus cases, the spike is high. You know, but tomorrow, Halloween, it'll be a great day and a great night. Spooky season. It fits, you know, it all works. Something strange going on. Something's wrong. That's Ghostbusters. Okay, I won't do that to y'all. But tomorrow is the first full moon on Halloween since 1944. Isn't it fitting? Isn't it fitting, baby? Ooh. On such an insane year, the first full moon on Halloween since 1944 will be tomorrow. Pandemic 2020. Okay, damn. Crowd was a little wild right there. I never dress up for Halloween. I told a story last week or the week before. No, it was last week. I don't dress up. I ain't dressed up since I was a kid, you know. Wearing my skin color and having this beard is scary enough for the others. So I don't really, I don't really want to add to the costume. I just kind of walk the streets, you know, and those type of things just kind of spook people, you know, there he is. He's scary, but I'm looking forward to really dive. And I have some serious things I want. I'm not serious. I'm never serious. But, you know, I got some things I want to chat about. But I want to, you know, because Halloween's tomorrow. And I do love Halloween. You know? It provides me, the fall season provides me with a lot of fun things. You know, not in AZ, you don't really get to see the leaves change like back home in Kansas City. You know, the leaves change. You know what I'm saying? It's green, it's orange, and it's brown, and it's a light brown. It's a little bit of tan, and it's a little bit of a Kardashian color tan. You know what I'm saying? On the leaves. The leaves are a little Kardashian today, you know? But it's beautiful. Down here, it doesn't, you know, it's just dust, you know, and brown dust everywhere, right? But fall provides me with a lot of, you know, fun things. And it lets me know that Thanksgiving is around the corner and Christmas. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. Oh, Christmas is coming. But Halloween is the first step. And I have fun with it. I love scary movies. I absolutely, you know, love scary movies. I love him. Mike Myers, the fastest slow walker in the history of planet Earth-esis. The fastest slow walker of all time. He will get you because he has a considerable amount of great pacing. The pace at which he walks is incredible. The focus, the ability to not be wavered in a way. The way Michael Myers tracks down his victims. Shit, that's special. That's incredible. At that pace, that man moving, he able to catch all them white people. That is incredible. I don't know what you want to say about him. All I know, he got a good pace. And when you frantic and you scared and you running, you liable to run into some shit. You liable to run into a tree branch. That's what I'm saying. You liable to fall. When you scared, you like, oh shit, Michael Myers coming. And you scared. Next thing you know, you hit a branch. Pow, you're on the ground. Mike, he's focused. I don't get wavered. Mike thinks to himself, I don't get wavered. Hit me with something. I'm still going to come after you. I'm focused. Laser sharp. Focus. And my balance is good. I got good balance. I trained with LeBron James. My balance is real good. That's what he be telling people. I seen an interview with Mike Myers. He was telling folks. He said, my balance is real good. I don't waver. When you trying to run and you scared of me, what happens is you always looking back. Not focus on what's in front of you. Message. Focus on what's in front of you. Focus on the future. In the past, can't get your ass. I'm the past. I'm behind you. I'm going to get your ass because you're not focused on the future. My bad, yo. Nah. I really do make my old self laugh, man. Michael Myers, of course, the face of Halloween, you know, but there's a shit ton of movies that, you know, should be watched during spooky season. You know, you're 31 days, and so we're on 30. You should have been trying to enjoy yourself. You should have had you know, somebody to enjoy these with, whether it's your kids. I'm not saying you watch, you know, My Bloody Valentine with your kids, but you know, you Hocus Pocus. You watch Hocus Pocus with the kids. Bette Miller came out and said they doing Hocus Pocus 2. They doing a Hocus Pocus 2. You supposed to be watching Hocus Pocus with your kids. But if you got a little side chick, or ladies, if you got a little side man, then you watch a little Nightmare on Elm Street, get you a little classic in or something like that. You know? Get you out of Know What You Did Last Summer. I know it's a bad movie, but it's got some, it's nostalgic. Nostalgic. I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's not a good movie. But it's got Jennifer Love Hewitt in it. Right? I mean, that's in one of the most disappointing careers of all time, Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze Jr. is in it. Come on, man. Watch a little I Know What You Did Last Summer, but you're supposed to be enjoying the spooky season, because since March, this shit has all been incredibly spooky, incredibly uncomfortable, incredibly scary. So have fun with your scariness, right? Now, I don't know if I'm supposed to get into it. Should I get into my top five scary movies first? Because I got some stuff I want to talk about. But do I talk about my top five first? I break down Dream Warriors? Because I've always loved Dream Warriors. And I don't know if you know what Dream Warriors is. Did I talk about Dream Warriors? I didn't talk about Dream Warriors the other night. But I watched it the other night. Right? I'm watching Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. And I've always, for some reason, just loved this particular, number three out of the 30 they made for Nightmare on Elm Street, right? The 30 they made, I've always loved Dream Warriors. I just thought it was one of the, like, more of my speed. It fits into the Krueger universe. It makes sense. You know, everything about the movie makes sense. The acting is still incredibly pedestrian. I mean, Nancy. I mean, this is what Dollar General Manager acting is made of. I mean, this shit is incredible how bad some of this acting is. But I think it's the best out of all of them, outside of course, the original. And we know what I feel about the original, right? So I'm watching number three, and it's dope. And I don't know if you've ever seen number three, Dream Warriors. Basically, they got these kids that are in a mental hospital, and they all are, of course, having the same type of dream. And then Nancy, of course, is now older. Mm-hmm. And she's coming to work with these kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come to find out one of the girls has the ability to pull other people into her nightmares or dreams, right? And of course, that plays a big hand, but it all works because, you know, Freddy's world is all nightmare based. And if you're in a nightmare slash dream, you're really able to control what's going on. Even though when you're asleep, you know, I mean, there's moments where me and Holly Berry are just sharing beautiful candlelight dinner. I mean, we're having a conversation of our lives. Like, yeah, you know, I really do think season 8 of Game of Thrones was horrible. She's like, yeah, I thought the same. That's it, girl. We are on the same page, girl. We are meant to be. Do you want to take this incredible hot moment to the couch? And Holly Berry goes, yeah. And we go to the couch. And right when we are about to kiss, Zach Morris pop in and say, time out. And then I wake up. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck just happened? What the fuck? And then I try to go back to sleep and get back to that moment. I can't get back to that moment. But in my dreams, I should have been able to control Zach Morris popping in. It should have been Kelly Kapowski dropping in instead of Zach, and her being like, I want to join in. I want to join in, but I ain't got the girl's powers from Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. So I fucked up. But what I'm saying is that number three in Nightmare on Elm Street, it really works. It really works. It has everything that you can ask for out of a Cougar movie, you know, and it fits in his universe. Now, as I discuss these things, let's go into this top five so I can get into some other shit. And I know a lot of y'all probably not. Like, there's, I just, so many people are just afraid of scary movies. Like, I can do thrillers. Oh, Jesus, I can do a thriller. Like, that movie Seven, I can do Seven all day. That Kevin Spacey, we can't watch his movies now, but that Kevin Spacey and that young non-acting Brad Pitt and that incredibly well-spoken man Morgan Freeman, I can watch Seven all day. It's just a thriller. But actually, scary movies, people are like shit chickens, man. Chicken shits. They can't watch. They can't watch scary movies. I can't watch possession movies. It's real, bro. I can't watch possession movies. I'm not saying it's not, because I've experienced some wild stuff in my career on Earth. I've had some wild things happen. But the way people react to scary movies is like, man, you got to enjoy being pushed. Enjoy the mystery inside of the scary movie. You know what's going on, you know? But let's get into the top five then. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna let it run. Yeah. Yeah. To think, man, that John Carpenter made that score on his own, just made that score, made that theme. The dude just cashed in on his own movie heavily. And Halloween is just I bet you he just cashed in. That's all I can say. He just cashed in. That was his bitch. My number one, I'll go for number five. Number five is Blair Witch. Now, when I first seen Blair Witch, of course, it came out 99, I think Blair Witch came out. Wow. I think that was 99. Oh, I could be really, really off on that one. Let's just check it out real quick. Oh, Shade is really good at what he does. I'm so good at what I do. July 30th. 1999, it came out. So, wow, it had a $60,000 budget. $60,000 budget. And that movie made $248.6 million, bro. And I remember hearing it. I think the actors on there got paid like $5,000 and no back end. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? $5,000 and no back end. Maybe $10,000, I think. And no back end. And they cashed in and made $248
million. $248
million? I only got $5,000 or $10,000. That's worth murder. If I'm one of that, the three actors they had in there, it's worth murder. I found a producer, executive producer, director, a lighting guy, and I'm just stabbing. Take a stab. Because I only made $10,000. And I'm probably sure there was some taxes in that. So you take taxes out of that, come out with like $8,000. Then I got to live, you know, shit. $8,000. And they made $248 million, bro. $248. Anyway, man. But the Blair Witch Project, 1989, that was the first handheld camera movie. And the way they sold it before I'd even seen it, they had like documentaries coming out on the Sci-Fi Network. And they just really sold it to me. They really sold it to us, the public, as this is legit. This is real. This really happened. These people died. I remember they were talking about people going up to Massachusetts. They had like people really going up there to check out this place. And I'm not saying the place, the actual forest area ain't real and the history of it is all true and all that stuff like that. And then I'd heard that the actors went through nasty conditions. Like they really were out there in the cold, you know, for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and at the time. Now, once again, I just told you, they got paid next to nothing. And they was out there doing that method acting or what, you know, I don't know what they call it, but that extreme shit. I want to be in the environment. I don't want a trailer. Douse me in water and put me in negative 10 weather. I am an actor. And they were really out there. Really out there for $10,000. Now, they didn't know at the time that the movie would make $248 million. But you had to guess that it would make enough to where, fuck, I should be getting paid more than 5 to 10, right? 5 to 10, I should be getting paid more, right? But they had really sold it. Since they really sold it, I was locked in. I was with my boys. So we was back home, Independence, Missouri. Went to this theater had just like kind of opened. It's the AMC theater. We went there all the time. And we was young black kids in a very white area doing young hood black shit, right? And so we would go. And then we all, at the time, listen, it's statute of limitations. I can talk about this, all right? We never paid to get into this theater, right? It was a very rare moment that we ever paid to get into this theater, but we never had to pay. We would sneak in, right? And so we also had a hustle to where we, one of our boys' younger cousins used to go up and ask people for their ticket stubs. And then we would take the ticket stubs back and get money off of them because, you know, anyway, it was a whole thing. Don't listen to me. We didn't do that. Listen, it didn't happen. It didn't really happen. And so when we stuck into the theater was already packed. And I think the movie had just kind of started. And so when, you know, the theater's packed and it was like, this was like a big horror movie at the time. Like they really were pubbing this thing. So it was full. And all we had was the very, very, very front row. And I don't know if you sit in the front row, all of a sudden your neck hurt and you're cross-eyed, right? Me and Jada, we like to go to the theater with Jaden and Willow. Cause love. No, anyway. And we would sit down there at the, we were sitting at the very bottom row, the very bottom towards the exit door. So we're very bottom, far right. Exit doors right there. I'm at the end. Water break. I'm at the end of the very bottom row. And bruh, as hard as we claim to be, I think it was like five of us at the time. As hard as we claim to be, and you know, we lived a very wild teenage, you know, life. We was in that motherfucker shook. Everybody in the theater was screaming, jumping, and whispering, and tripping out. And I was at the very end, next to the exit. It was really, really pitch black. I can't see anything. So my tough guy face and armor, it was off. I was a bitch. I was soft. we was leaning on each other. Motherfuckers was jumping all over the place. I can't see in the corner. There's gonna be a spirit coming out the wall because it's too black. The exit sign light wasn't on, but I know that's the exit because I used to come through that. I never really came through there, but I knew it was the exit. I couldn't see. We were scared. All right? We were scared. Blair Witch is fire. They did a lot with nothing. And in that end, ooh, I think he's downstairs. And he's running down the stairs. And then he just, boom, in the corner. And she's crying. And, oh, man. That was my shit. So that's number five on my list. Number four is Hereditary. Now, Hereditary, I don't really like. Listen, cults bother me the most. Cult minded like people who are extremists, they scare me the most. There's a scene in Hereditary. There's two scenes that stand out, but Hereditary is fucking disturbing. But there's two scenes. There is the mother crawling in the air scene. I had never seen anything like that in my cinematic days, my cinematic, you know, enjoying days. I've never seen anything like that. It was extremely creepy, extremely scary the way she was crawling through the air. You know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't have women, you know, had them crawling up the wall a couple of times. Couple of sugar bear honeys crawling up the wall now. But they ain't never crawled through no damn air. That was creepy. And then, so there's, you know, as that's all happening, because when the air crawl happens, that's pretty much everything's coming to a head. So he runs out into the living room. Now, listen, I'm a jokester. So everything I talk about, there's some truth, but I'm just, you know, lighthearted. So stay with me here now. He runs out into, you know, the living room. I'm just going to say living room, right? This is in Hereditary. And dude is like, it's a lot of things happening. He's paranoid. The young guy's paranoid. And dude turns around. It's pitch black, man, but there's just this white naked dude in the closet. Let me tell you how terrifying that is. All right. I'm going to set the scene for you. Say you sleepy sleep time. Now you knocked out. You cold. You know, maybe you went to bed early today. You went to bed tonight. You went to bed. It was 10:30. That's unusual for you. You went to sleep. It's 10:30. No, you know what? Let's make it a little bit more difficult. You went to sleep at 8:00. You were tired. You were extremely tired from the day. You went to sleep 8 p.m. Boom. You're out like a light, right? You're snoring. You're having a great dream. Early in the day, you had too much water. There's too much water in your system. So you end up having to wake up. It's like 3:30 in the morning. You're like, man, what's going on? I've been asleep since 8:00. That's crazy. But you got to take a tinkle. It's 3:00 in the morning. You get up. You walk to the bathroom. You know, say you take a look around just to kind of look at your environment. And in the corner is some white guy who's fucking naked. You telling me that's not creepy? That shit's fucking creepy. I don't like cults. I don't like cult-minded people. I don't like those are the people who will do the craziest shit. They're extremists. They will go the farthest. Dude was ass naked. If you wake up to an ass naked man in the corner, that shit's terrifying. It's throwing you off your axis. See, Michael Myers, he not gonna trip. Steady, paced. I'm focused, laser focused. But when you coming out of sleep, and you in that weird mode of like, damn, I've been asleep since 8. So you kind of wobbly, but I got to take a pee. And you thrown off already. And you look in the corner, there's some white naked dude. Fuck. Just standing there. White naked dude raped me because I passed out. I passed out. I was done. He was on top of me. It was easy for him. He got me because I'm not prepared for that. But those are my two moments. But that whole movie, fucking disturbing. Number three, and I have my reasonings. Three is Scream. And Scream, Wes Craven's Scream. And I know you're like, Scream is not, you know. For me, this holds a lot near and dear to my heart. This is like, it's like my high school years, like my, you know, middle school, high school years. I can't remember because I dropped out sometime. I can't remember what it was. So it's probably middle school. And like, I just, it's just teen slasher movies, man. High school slasher movies. And it's right up my alley. I've always loved scary movies. You know what I'm saying? Always.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I've always Love scary movies.
What's your favorite scary movie?
And then they had the little voice modulator change of voice and Drew Barrymore, who I think, never mind, I'm not going to share my opinion. But anyway.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Wes Craven's movie, man. And see, and this is all falls into the line of like, you know, kids that there was a nice run where people, kids, were able to blame a lot of things on video games and movies and Eminem and shit. And I'm not saying Eminem was at the time, he wasn't out, but you know, that was the, it was a run where you could look at something and blame and then get away with it. Listen, the reason I burnt down my house, because I was watching Captain Planet, and then there was this pyro guy on there, and he had like the power of pyro. And then I saw that, and then I burned it down. Because then at the end, he said, the power is yours, so I wanted the power to be mine. And I burned down my crib and killed everybody in there. I blamed Captain Planet. They said, you know what? Them goddamn cartoons are too damn destroyed. You know what? You are free to go. He's right. Shame on Captain Planet. And that's how it would work. That's how I would go. And I just thought that was dope that Wes Craven played into that. He wrote that. And it had a night. Fantastic fucking twist. It was like this odd, weird goofiness in it. You know what I'm saying? And it had that exhilarating moments of over the top hard knife swings where they would swing so hard the knife would get stuck in the wood. And it was almost like, ah, yeah, yeah, you're swinging too hard, chief. You know what I'm saying? And then the person would hit him with a vase and they were able to run for a little bit and he would get his knife out and do like a little pose with it and then take off. It was a whole thing. I loved everything about it. I'm not saying it's the most scariest thing. But thriller, twist, and what did I just say about, you know, and then using real life situations, loved it. Loved it. You can't go wrong with Scream. Can't go wrong with Scream 2. You can go wrong with Scream 3. You can go wrong with Scream 3. Absolute trash. You can go completely wrong with Scream 3. Scream 4, they bounce back. Good job, guys. Good job. Number two, Nightmare on Elm Street. You can never, you know how I was just talking about it. Nightmare on Elm Street, fucking with your dreams. I got to speed up because I got some things I got to get to. So I can't do my animation for everything. Y'all got to calm down. Y'all got to calm down and work with me.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Me and Jada. We come together, right, with love. Love.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street is number two. And, it, you know, sleep is one thing we can never get away from. We got to have sleep. So to come up with something that just completely fucks with your dreams, perfecto, Wes Craven. You got two on there, buddy. R.I.P., man. R.I.P. And I'll go to my last one.
What's your favorite scary movie?
And this one, I got to give a little time for this. I'm going to give a little time. The Conjuring. And I'm not just talking about one. One's my favorite. And number two, it's fantastic. Number one is fucking legendary classic, right? Number two is fantastic. Not legendary classic. But they didn't let me down, not one bit in number two, right? Now, they say it's the Conjuring universe. Fuck that. That nun shit, all them other motherfuckers that's supposed to be attached to the, no, they're not. I don't want them. Leave them alone. They're trash. Get them away from here. It is about Ed and Warren. All right? The Conjuring is so good. Matter of fact, I will be watching that tonight. It sucks I haven't watched it in a minute. So good, bro. That is my shit. Everything about that movie was put together very, very well. It's a horror movie, man. But that movie, that's a complete movie. It's a complete movie. And number two, like I said, fantastic. Now, listen, once they drop that number three, and that number three is absolute fire. It's absolute fire. Best horror movie franchise of all time. I'm calling it. If they give me a number three, and number three is like 1 and 2, it will be the best horror movie franchise of all time. Now, I can't, like I said, I can't dive in because I want to get into some other shit, but those are my scary movies. And like I said, the first full moon of Halloween since 1944 is happening this Saturday. We got to enjoy ourselves. I mean, Mike walked with pace, baby. He walked with pace. He had purpose. Mike walked like the 80-year-old women inside of the mall before it opened up. He walked with purpose. He walked with pace, but he didn't waver. He didn't, you could hit him with something. He was focused, laser sharp focus. He had a goal. It was murder. It was bloody murder. And he got to it. Anyway. Now I'm gonna switch the pace up here. Let me get a little water here. Cause I got about 10 minutes, maybe. Let's see here. Oh, hold on. So I'm switching the pace. Shake it off. Switching the pace. I'm gonna keep it real. You make me feel. Stop it, Shay. I'm gonna keep it real. You, I'm gonna break it down. Woo! Drive me wild whenever you're around. Come on. You know how I flow. Let me chill, cause now I'm excited. I'm good. Okay, folks, we had an incident out here in Scottsdale. I'm not even going into like super details, but this Asian guy approaches a couple of young black brothers in Scottsdale and they're doing stuff for YouTube. And, you know, he sees them and he's doing what racist people do, you know, acting like they own shit, like they own the world. Right. He approaches them and he's, you know, inquiring what they do. He tell him, man, what's going on? Why do you care? I mean, like, why are you in the business? And then dude goes to say, this is a no nigger zone. This is what the Asian guy tells the young black brothers. Now, by now, I'm pretty sure you've seen it because it really went everywhere. And the Asian guy ended up getting arrested. But I say all that to say, when will y'all fucking learn? It is incredible to continue to watch this time and time again. It's not worth it. At this point, if you're racist, man, it's just better to keep it in the house around your buddies. You're letting it slip and you becoming famous. And it's fucking up people's lives. That shit don't leave. These videos, those blog reports and website reports, the news clip, they don't leave. And racist folks continue to rain down. It's like they don't look. Listen. Nosiness is getting motherfuckers put on blast. Black people, we not nosy, man. From the hood, hey, look, hey, man, your house can be getting robbed. This is your house can be getting robbed. And your neighbors can come outside, look, and then tell everybody in the house, like, damn, they're getting Johnny house right now. And then turn around and go back inside and start doing what they was doing. We don't investigate. Look, are you going to go investigate? Listen, let's just say your neighbors. It's incredible. It's just incredible. Your neighbors are gone, right? They say, hey, man, this is, watch the house. We're leaving town. You know, just keep an eye on the house. Go take it. Go take a peek. You know, check and make sure everything is cool. So you go over one day, you go to the neighbor's house because you got the key. Martha left you the key. Martha's such a beautiful woman. She's so sweet. And so she left you the key. You go in, you check in, making sure everything is good. You feed the cat. The cat's name is Sharif. You feed the cat, put a little food in there, and you know that, you know, you have everything, you know, locked up and the lights is off. And, you know, let's say you up on the lady late. You up on the lady late because you was up watching The Conjuring with your lady. And you get up and you look over, you say, oh shit, somebody in Martha house. Cause the light is on. Somebody in Martha house. Man. I'm torn because I like to think that, you know, most people just get on the phone and call the police. But y'all seem like y'all run shit so much. I could see white folks just dashing over to the house. Nobody's in the house because they're gone. But they're going to run over there. What are you doing in here? Robbing this motherfucker. Pow. You're not using your brains. You don't own every fucking thing. And you also not seeing what's happening when you motherfuckers is doing this shit. Yeah, I call you motherfuckers when I'm talking about shit. When I'm talking, I talk black, so I use motherfuckers in there, all right? It's incredible to continue to watch. And I still get shocked. I mean, certain things I'm not shocked about, but I get shocked because I'm like, if it happens to me, look, bro, if I pull my camera out, bro, this ain't going nowhere. I'm not saying it's like, you know, it's a virtual gun. It's an internet gun. The camera's an internet gun. If I pull it out, bro, this is long lasting. It's attached to you. It's not worth it. Leave people the fuck alone. I feel like we can all tell when there's actual trouble, when there's just actual situations going on. When this situation happened in Scottsdale, it's broad fucking daylight in Scottsdale, Arizona. Two brothers could barely breathe too hard without Scottsdale PD rolling up. And you think you the superhero of the day just by coming to fuck with them in broad fuck, like they're going to be, what, like they're going to rob the whole old town area they're in 12 in the afternoon? Nah, it's just pure hatred, pure racism. For you to go out of your way with all the signs pointing of they just out and about doing what they do. That's what the generation do. They recording everything and they skateboarding, recording, they whatever it is, they out recording. How do you get it in your head? How does it get into y'all head to where it's like, no, these black motherfuckers are doing something? How does that happen? It's pure hatred, bro. It's pure evil. It's incredible. I mind my business. Hell, I sometimes I'll be in my car and I'm like, man, if I see a woman and a man fighting, right? Say, woman and man fighting, and boom, the dude hauls off and hits her. I've seen a lot of cases where it's more of like, dudes, people have ran over there, hey, don't hit her. And then she starts fighting the guys that's coming over to save her. I'm inclined to damn near just get in my car and be like, oh shit, guess I gotta go. I got stuff to do. I'm minding my fucking business. Now, there are situations that for sure I know that I would step into, because you can really tell when there's a situation going on that requires you just as a human to step in. and try to do something. But 98% of the time, I'm a mind in my fucking business type of person. It's incredible how much we are feared. Just living, that's it. Just living on earth, just breathing. And my brothers and sisters are deemed incredible threats. Do you understand what I'm saying? Incredible threats by breathing and doing things that other humans are doing, other folks are doing. Last night, I'm with my guys, right? Because the club is, it's like weirdly opened the way it's all set up. It's set up, at least people can get out, you know what I'm saying? And see other people and, you know, enjoy some music, but it's just it's really X-File-y, you know what I'm saying? It's real X-File-y, right? But I'm out with my guys last night and we're out, you know, we just talking because we don't get a chance to be around each other that much. And these are all the people that all work for the club, right? So those are my guys. We work at the club and we outside talking and we're in front of this BMW. And this white guy's coming to get to his BMW. I think it's two of them. And he, you know, we're in front of his BMW and he was coming through. And I said, oh, my bad, man. I got out of his way. And my guy Fresh, who's a no-nonsenser, he don't play. He was like, don't fucking apologize. The fuck? For me, I'm always trying to disarm white people. I'm being black, so I'm always trying to let them know it's okay. When some of the times it's just not called for, but I'm so trained in trying to make them feel comfortable. I do a lot of that shit on the constant. I'm always like, oh, my bad. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Oh, man, I didn't mean to be in your way. Because I'm trained, and it's crazy to think that I spend a lot of energy always trying to disarm and make folks feel comfortable to be around me. Can you imagine? White people just walk. I walk, but I got extra shit on my shoulders I'm walking with just because I'm trying to exist, and I'm not trying to cause a stir or make people fill up with fear. Somehow I always have my phone on, but I'm not trying to make people, you know, afraid of me. So I'm always trying to, you know, smile and head nod. And you ever see white people? Them motherfuckers just be existing. They be walking, moving. They don't move, nigger. They don't, you know, it's not a lot of them that just going to say hi, what's up, but they just live their life. They got somewhere to be, they go. I got somewhere to be, but I got to do it in a way to where, man, I'm not trying to cause a commotion. I'm not trying to. That is a real thing. That's a real situation. That's real for me. That's real for a lot of other black men. Well, the first thing you want to do is say, hey, look at me. I'm nice. And look, you could be around me and we can shake hands and we can laugh. Shit, I like Married with Children, too. Al Bundy. Oh, man, he's hilarious. Look at me. I'm not a threat. I'm friendly. I spend a lot of energy doing that. And it's crazy that continue to happen. And I wonder why whenever I post things like that, like the situation that happened, it gets so much more traffic. My boy GRC called it outrage traffic. It gets so much more traffic on social media than anything positive that I can post. If I post something positive, I post somebody's business, if I post anything that I'm doing, I post about my podcast, anything like that, the traffic, the views, the love is way, way down in the dumps. But if I post something like what happened in Scottsdale or what just happened in Tolleson here in Arizona, if I post that shit, shit's on fire. people in the comments, they're upset, they're angry. And I mean, I got some people that be in the comments. I mean, they're extreme. And I'm like, whoa. I get it, because, you know, 2020's made, you know, got everybody on edge, and then you be black and you're already on edge, and then you got 2020 you're on edge. So then that motherfucker just put you damn near jumping off the cliff with no damn parachute. You just jumping off the cliff with a fucking AR just shooting and nukes just dropping them bitches because you're angry. Some of these people are really, really creepily angry. So I hate, sometimes I have to figure out what I'm going to post because I got to read all the messages. I got to deal with the DMs. I got to see the comments. I got to see people go back and forth. It's crazy. Outrage traffic crushes positive traffic. It absolutely destroys it. And I don't know if it says a lot about people. If you want the views, you post shock value. Shock value could be, you know, half naked, full naked, you know, fights, you know, donkeys jumping on the back of turtles. I don't know. Anything is shock value that wins. It wins. But anything that's like a true positive or somebody's business or somebody trying to do something, I share that, or anybody shares that, the love is trash. Don't nobody want to be in a burning building, but we will watch that sumbitch burn down. We love to watch it, man. It's crazy, right? Oh, man. Sorry about that. But I do. I'm an optimistic person. So I do believe that there'll be a time where things will change just a tad bit. Not a lot. Okay? Not a lot. Oh, wait. You know what? Fuck that. Let's go back to my shit. Because this is the end of the episode. Let's go back to my shit. I'm gonna keep it real. Stop it. That's my jam, dog. 702. If you don't know the song and you wasn't vibing, I want you to make sure you stretch your knees out. Bend down a couple of times, and then I want you to jump into traffic, because that's the jam, dog. I'm gonna keep it real. And that is the end of the episode, Seasonable Clout. Before I end this, I went to the bathroom. I went to the shitter with my mask on. And it's getting sad. I mean, I walk around with my mask on my chin because it's strapped around my ears. I don't even like to take it off because I got to go places. So the mask is on me all the time. So I'm going into the shitter and I'm rubbing my beard and I'm like, what the? I got my mask on, man. This is getting, I took my mask off. I threw it on the ground because this is bullshit. Now I'm looking at websites. I'm trying to accessorize The Rock. The Rock got a mask. I'm looking at The Rock mask. The mask going to cost me $30 plus shipping. I'm like, it is The Rock's mask. I'm accessorizing with masks. I'm looking for masks that are dope masks now. I want to be fly in my mask to protect myself from a virus. Bruh, I'm shopping for a mask to protect myself from a virus. There is a Rock mask on Under Armour website that I know I'm going to buy to accessorize, to stylize myself. I'm gonna keep it real. How you make me feel. happy Halloween to everybody. I know that there's some people I talked to. The kids are going trick-or-treating. I'm happy that y'all are trying to trick-or-treat. Have fun. Be safe. Happy Halloween. This is Seasonable Clout. You can find me on Instagram at Thaddeus.Shade, Twitter at ThadShade, Facebook verified. I can't get verified on nothing else, but I'm Facebook verified, motherfucker. So make sure you subscribe and share Seasonable Clout. Subscribe, share Seasonable Clout. I'm out. Peace. On the top. Grandma's kitchen. Grandma's kitchen. Grandma's kitchen. The midnight hour is tripping, man.